Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we are continuing here in going through the Bible. Last time, we ended up in 1 Kings, about chapter 10, and that's where we're going to pick up today. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Yahuwah, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendees of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Oh, yes. Just reading about all the pomp and all the wealth and the things that she's seeing and impressed with, it makes me think about all of the riches of men and how they show off all their wealth and the riches and they find their identity in it. And the deceitfulness of riches is something that we need to look out for. There is a great danger there. If I suddenly became rich or came on a lot of money, I would be afraid. I'm telling you, because of the deceitfulness of riches. And I don't know. Just hope I never become so rich that I can't handle it, or so poor that I want. So howbeit, she says, I believe not the words. She continues, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought it from Ophir, great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps and also psalteries for singers. And there came no such almug trees, nor, and I don't know what an almug tree is here, let's see, sandalwood. That's what it says, probably sandalwood. And there came no such trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 600 threescore and 6 talents. Wow. Now, isn't that a telling figure. 666 talents of gold. Now, what's a talent? I don't think they're going to tell me what a talent is here. But anyway, I'd imagine that's a lot of gold, and if you wanted to look up the weight of a talent on the internet, you could find it out if it was important. But I don't know what the importance here is. The weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Interesting. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen, and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and of all the kings of Arabia, and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of gold went to each one target, and he made 300 shields of beaten gold, and 3 pounds of gold went into one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside each of the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other upon 6 steps. And there was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all of the vessels of the house of the forests of Lebanon were pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. So that everything was gold was nothing special, I guess, as was nothing accounted of it in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish, which met with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years they came, the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices and horses, mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. Chapter 11 of 1 Kings, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. And of course, there the word strange means that they were women of other nations, and they were not women who came into Israel or came into the nation because they sought the faith of the Hebrews, that they were after the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's what made them strange. So King Solomon loved many strange women. And, you know, you can see this when people become famous, or perhaps, you know, 40, 50 years ago, or probably still happens today. I don't watch pop, rock and roll, or music, or all the songs of fools today. where someone becomes popular, say a man becomes popular, and strange women start throwing themselves at these men. And basically, that's what's happened with Solomon here, is his fame is spread throughout the earth. He's become very popular, and all of a sudden, every nation on earth, every king and kingdom, is sending him women to secure a treaty or a friendship with the king. So they're sending him all these women or strange wives. So Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning of which the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Yes, men today have a problem with one wife turning away their heart. I see the way men follow after women simply for their looks. They don't care anything. And a lot of them call themselves Christians. And as soon as a good-looking woman divorces a man, they're right there to take her up and lay in her bed of adultery. Of course, they get a divorce according to the state, and they remarry according to the state. But I don't believe that overthrows the law of God and the words of the Messiah. That all men care about, it seems, is a way a woman looks. And of course, this is recorded in the book of Genesis before the flood, where it says, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they took of them wives whomever they choose, or they chose. No, that's not a story about fallen angels coming into women and having hybrid offspring. You know, we have to throw out all of the checks and balances that the Heavenly Father put in his creation to accept that nonsense. Because he said, well, everything will reproduce after its kind. And since angels don't reproduce, well, they can't come in. Basically, what that is, it tells us that men started to worship the form of women and go after them and take wives of whomever they chose rather than follow the law of God and be subject or obedient to their parents, which is also part of the law. And the parents would choose and or prohibit or allow the marriage of a woman. And you see even where, what's his name, Samson, you know, kind of obeyed the law, but he bossed his parents around and they gave in to him when he said, go get her to wife for me. But she was a foreign wife. And of course, we all know the story about how that turned out. But Samson, nevertheless, in the end, he repented. And it just goes to show that men are men. And men, we have to be very careful that our hearts aren't turned away from the Almighty for all of these things. There's the deceitfulness of riches. Yes, there is women. There is that natural drive that the Almighty put in us to procreate. And we have to understand that and rein it in. We have to watch where we go and what kind of influences we're under, what we allow our eyes to see. We need to cut off the things that are danger to us, having our eyes wide open, understanding the condition of men, of which we are one. And there's, you put yourself in a circumstance, and nature does take its course, even for the best of men. That's right, even for the most obedient of men. Given certain circumstances, nature takes its course, and we need to understand that, and we need to direct our paths and our lives accordingly, to stay away from certain situations, not allow certain circumstances to arise, and to cut things off immediately if we find ourselves perchance in a circumstance that might cause us to compromise when things take their natural course and we could lose control. We need to understand that and have no illusions about what we are as men, and that every single one of us, if we allow a circumstance to persist or arise without fleeing it, without cutting it off, that we will fall. And God only knows if we'll get back up. That's how serious the matter of this life is, and directing our steps in such a way as to not allow those circumstances. I look at the life of Solomon and how he was blessed, and how the Heavenly Father visited him twice and spoke to him. And I see how the circumstances and the riches of the deceitfulness of riches took him and caused him a lot of trouble to even, well, we're going to read about it. He loved many strange women, and he had too many wives. Now, in Israel, the Hebrews were allowed to have more than one wife. That's right. They were allowed to have as many wives as they could take care of, and that would be take care of in every way. So, I mean, you know, there's a physical limit to how many wives you could have, as well as providing for them all, which would mean being able to rule your household. So it wasn't a problem as far as the law of God and marriage goes. As a matter of fact, the Hebrews were even commanded sometimes to take another wife. There were, if certain circumstances arose, there was no caveat that unless they already had a wife, so they could have a multiple marriages. The man, and each marriage, you know, it's like if a man had took a second wife, well, the second wife wasn't married to the first wife, so each marriage was a separate marriage. But they would be, perhaps each one would have their own tent, or they, today I guess you would consider them sister wives. But there was a lot of rivalry, and we read all about that throughout the scripture. And some of the wives of David's, where there were rivalries for who would become the head of the clan, and so on and so forth. And a lot of people like to lie, and they like to say, well, that's why David had all that trouble, was because of his multiple wives. But no, we find out, if you read the scripture, that David's trouble was because of the adultery and the murder. That's where the punishment came in, and all the trouble. If you have one wife, you know, you can have trouble. In this life, you will have trials and tribulation. So I see a lot of people have enough trouble with one marriage that they just have more trouble with two or three marriages. But, you know, then and again in America, they practice multiple wives, only they have serial marriages, one after the other. That's what serial means. Instead of having them all at once, they have to abandon one and move on to the next one. So we have serial monogamy in America as a practice, yeah, serial monogamy, where wouldn't it be better if a man, instead of getting married and divorced three times, he just got married three times and managed his household in a godly fashion and kept everybody happy and together. That would be much more commendable and a much better situation. Anyway, their little commentary on the multiple marriage that was allowed by the law of God. And so King Solomon loved many wives, and they turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect We're in verse 4 of chapter 11. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did his father, David. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their God. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice. Now, you know, this is the same sin of America on a national scale. This is the sin of the Roman Babylonian church, where they worship every god. America allows every strange religion to come in and build their high places, and even their children to go in and marry with them and pull them away from the faith. There's no new thing under the sun, is there? You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website at crosstheborder.org. All of these studies are archived and available shortly after broadcast at libertyarchives.com. And also, you'll find the complete studies on the books of the Bible there at my website at crosstheborder.org. We'll be back in a few minutes.